You're listening to WWBC 1510 AM 94.7 FM, the Christian voice of Brevard.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
It is Friday, and we want to welcome you to the Refresh radio program right here on WMIE 91.5 FM, today's Modern Worship. We hope that you are having a good day, that you have plans to get together with the saints, worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and hear a word from the Word of God, you know, which, you know, you some places you'll hear, some places you might not. But I'm thankful for the Word of God. We're going to be looking today in Psalm 111, but like to take this opportunity to invite you out to Merritt Assembly of God, 165 North Grove Street. We have worship services at 10:30. We have kids ministry. We have Sunday school, which is done by Harley, Pastor Harley. And we're thankful for all he's doing there and that, as well as meeting with young people throughout the week. Would love to have you come and be a part of what God is doing. Our church exists to be a blessing, and this year our theme is Let's Get Moving, and we'll be talking about some of those things next week that God is laying on our heart as far as, you know, being movement. Not all movement is good movement, but we want to be focusing on biblical movement. If you do come and worship with us, please introduce yourself. I get real excited when I meet new people. A few weeks ago, we had some people that were visiting. They don't live here full time, and they told us about the adventure that they're on, and their adventure sounded really exciting. I've got no skill or expertise in what they were doing. But to hear the adventure that they were on, I thought, wow, that's going to be a really great memory. It also takes a lot of time that I don't necessarily have, but we're praying that God will bless them in their journey. So today we're going to Psalm 111. We're also going to, at some point in time, touch on a point in Psalm 111 that is elaborated on in Psalm 112. So let's begin reading today. Verse number 1, Psalm 111. Praise the Lord. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart. In the assembly of the upright and in the congregation, the works of the Lord are great, studied by all who have pleasure in them. His work is honorable and glorious, and his righteousness endures forever. He has made his wonderful works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. He has given food to those who fear him. He will ever be mindful of his covenant. He has declared to his people the power of his works and giving them the heritage of the nations. The works of his hands are verity and justice. All his precepts are sure. They stand fast forever and ever, and are done in truth and right and uprightness. He has sent redemption to his people. He has commanded his covenant forever. Holy and awesome is his name. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all those who do his commandments. His praise endures forever. There are two primary points of discussion that we find in Psalm 111. We see a discussion about the works of God, and then we also find repeated references here to the nature of God. The thing is, those two are connected. Who he is manifests itself in the things that he does. I was watching this documentary, and it was heartbreaking in this sense. I mean, there was a lot of heartbreak there, but that the people who knew this individual the best said that there was a serious disconnect between who he is publicly and who he is privately. The things that he says and the things that he does. And that's a problem. Because it's not the words of our mouth that establish who we are. Who we are should impact the words that come out of our mouth. The words that come out of our mouth are supposed to be a reflection of our heart. And so I want to challenge you today to be authentic, be genuine, be, you know, admit who you are in reality. And, you know, the way that I do this radio program, this is who I am. Verbal issues and all, I say a lot. I try and, you know, improve in my speaking ability, but this is who I am. And so I want to take you, we're going to start off with the works here. And I will say here in Psalm 111 that the word Lord, praise the Lord, I will praise the Lord with my whole heart. Verse number 2, the works of the Lord. The reference to God as Lord God is probably one of the most frequently mentioned aspects of who he is. A lot of people have great interest in his ability to save. A lot of people have great interest in his ability to heal, in his ability to provide. But there's really not that much interest in experiencing him in his lordship. Probably one of the most profound things that I have heard in the last 15 or 20 years concerning our relationship to God as the Lord is that as believers, we rejoice in God closing a door as much as we do in rejoicing a door he opens. And I was like, that's really good. That was something that was shared in our Sunday school class by one of our Sunday school teachers, and that person has been promoted into the presence of heaven. But I was like, that is a really good word, because we're interested in where God, we want to be where God knows we should be. We want to do what God has called us to do, and we want God to receive the glory and the honor and the praise. The motivation of the world is, I've got to get higher, I've got to get more, I've got to make myself known, and stabbing people in the back, all of that sort of stuff is kind of commonplace because it's about me, 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 instead of about Jesus. When everything is about Jesus and you know what he's called you to do, then you've learned to be content like Paul in whatever state that he is. And so I was watching another little teaching, and it talked about that we are called to be faithful even under a heavy load, that we are going to hold our ground. That's kind of the definition of patience, I believe, was the word that they were defining there, is that we are going to wait, we're going to stay, we're going to be positioned even when the load is heavy. So I want to start talking about the works of the Lord. There are several things that are described here in Psalm 111. The first one is that the works of the Lord are great, and that's what it means. They are wonderful. God can accomplish more in a short period of time than you and I could accomplish in our entire lifetime. I have had on occasion tried to remove some branches from some trees in my life, and found that it was a lot of work to move those trees. I've also seen a lot of storms that have come through Brevard County through the years, and found out that with just a little wind, God can remove a lot of branches. That there's a lot of power whenever a flood takes place. Water accomplishes a great deal very, very quickly. So the works of the Lord are great. And the good news is, as we go through this passage, I'm going to let you know God's not retired. He's not ceased his working. He's still active. He still does. In fact, Jesus said that the works that he did were the works he saw his Father doing. So when you saw people healed and food provided, when you saw deaf ears opened and blind eyes opened, and you saw people who were lame able to walk again, and things of that nature, when you saw demons cast out, it was because God, the Father, wanted those things done. Too many times we are of the mindset that says, well, you know, that was great then, and what God talks about in the future, that's going to be great. And we forget that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. His works in creation were absolutely marvelous. His adjustments to creation, if you will, during Noah's flood are hard to fathom. They are so transformative. And so I want you to know that when God is at work in your life, you don't have to lament that aspect. You can celebrate it because the works of the Lord are great. That's in verse number 2. Verse number 3 says, his work is honorable and glorious. So there's a philosophy that the world has, and that is by any means necessary. Whatever it takes, whether it's lie, cheat, steal, whether it is legal or illegal, the world's philosophy is, as long as you don't get caught, it's worth it. And when people have been caught using unethical means, they said, well, it worked, didn't it? And there's no remorse about that. That's the system of the world. That is not the system of God. And so when we talk about doing the work, it is by any noble means, any honorable means. And so the work of God, what God does, is not going to bring dishonor to the Father. It's not going to bring dishonor to his people. It is going to be something that is honorable. It is going to be seen as, by the way, these two words, honorable and glorious, they both are very, very similar. They are, they describe the weightiness of God. They emphasize that it's powerful, authoritative, that it is filled with splendor, and it is majestic. And that word majestic shows up in both of those meanings, honorable and glorious. So what God does, the things that he works in people's lives and in churches, is to bring honor to his name. It is so that people understand the glory of God. I'm very thankful for God's steadfastness, his unchanging nature. A lot of times people don't want to change themselves, and they want God to change. And so you see that in a lot of modern theology, where people are trying to change the Word of God to fit their modern mindset instead of changing their mindset to match the Word of God. God's work is to bring honor and glory to his name. It is not going to be anything that brings dishonor to his name. He's the same. He's powerful. It's filled with splendor. So many times we want God to do what we want him to do. And I forget where I heard this statement. I believe it was a minister's son. I watched just a little bit of a video, and a dad walked in and his son was praying. And when the son got done, the dad said, "You know, that was a really great prayer. I just have one question for you. What does God get out of that?" And all of a sudden, the person who was praying began to evaluate that prayer. I mean, it was the son who was having the mention of this. What does God get out of this? What, as we pray, as we ask God to move in our lives, what does God get out of that? So here is a prayer that I prayed. I prayed for a person who had wandered from their faith, and God gave me some passages of scripture to pray that weren't out of someone's spiritual cliche book. They were something that were tangible in the Word of God and caused an anchor of faith to latch hold of what I saw that God had done in history, and said, if he did it then, he can do it now. And my prayer for that person was, God, bring them back into a holy and healthy relationship with you, that they are so on fire for you that the kingdom of God will advance to such a great degree that the devil will regret that he ever messed with them. You see, God is never caught unaware. And I believe that God's going to answer that prayer. I am thankful to report that they are walking in a holy and healthy relationship, that they love the Lord. And I just pray that flame of passion for God continues to grow and grow. So if you are wondering if something that is being done is of God or if it's not of God, you have to ask yourself this question: is this an honorable task, or how is God going to get the glory out of this? So you can do honorable things in an honorable way. You can also do honorable things in a dishonorable manner. That's why you've got some people who've served in the military. That's honorable, but they did it in a dishonorable way, and they got dishonorably discharged. You can't ever do a dishonorable thing honorably. Those two things are contradictory. So we need to make sure that in our evaluation of whether something is of God or not, one of the basic tools of discernment is, does this honor God? Does it honor God's word? And is God's majesty going to be seen in this? Because that is a great metric of evaluation. So we drop down to verse number 4. It says, he has made his wonderful works to be remembered. He made his wonderful works to be remembered. And the word wonderful there, it means wonderful. It means difficult, unusual, or marvelous. So I want to throw out there to you today that we can believe God that he can do difficult things. I've got a friend of mine. He's on up there. I served on his staff. He's a pastor. He's not pastoring any longer, but he's got this really creative mind. And if you want to really see him go to work, you just tell him that something can't be done. And his wife was telling me one day that he wanted something done. The wife had hired some people to do it, and they came back and they said, this can't be done. And she looked at the individuals that she hired, and they were supposed to be the experts. And she said, you need to understand something. If he says that something can be done, it can be done. He's not asking you to do something that's impossible. He has already figured out how it could be done in his own mind, and you and I are going to figure out a way to, you know, get it done. And they were frustrated, and so they went and got him. He told them what to do, and lo and behold, it could be done. God is not in the business of asking his people to do impossible things. But it is not uncommon for him to ask us to do difficult things. My presbyter has a statement that he makes. He's like, the word easy is not found in the Bible very often. Too many times people are looking for the easy way. We've got people right now that are doing immoral things because it's an easy way to make money. I'm not talking about in the church. I'm talking about in society. Something that is a serious spiritual stronghold of evil because it is financially lucrative, have people lined up waiting to get in line, waiting to expose themselves to spiritual darkness, waiting for themselves to be exploited, all for the sake of what the Bible calls filthy lucre. Not realizing that there's a price to be paid, all of the while they are dishonoring themselves and dishonoring the temple of the Holy Spirit. So, if you say, look, this is too hard. It may be too hard for us, but it is not too hard for God. With him, all things are possible. And those wonderful works, those difficult works, those miracles that he does. Listen, this word means miraculous. So God was the miracle worker in the Old Testament. He's the miracle worker in the New Testament. He's the miracle worker in the book of Revelation. He's a miracle worker now. He never changes. So we can believe God for miracles. The thing is, his miraculous works or his wonderful works are not to be forgotten. They are supposed to be remembered. And if we're not careful, we're not intentional, we can forget the supernatural, wonderful, hard to believe things that God has done in people's lives. I think that we are not only supposed to remember them, we're supposed to pass them on to the next generation. So, looking at the clock, we're getting close to the end of the program here. What do you have in your life that you are dealing with and it's really, really hard? I want to remind you of this. God has given to every person the measure of faith. The things that you might be facing right now that seem extremely difficult are meant to be faith builders, because the challenges of tomorrow will probably be even greater than the challenges of today. I tell the story. My wife and I, we lived in a place, the rent was $200. It was a barn. It was a barn. They had a little apartment, a little one-bedroom efficiency-style apartment. You basically rolled out a bed into the bathroom. And we had a child and a baby at that point in time, and we wondered how we were going to make it financially, and our total bills were, you know, you wish that your rent was how much our total bills are now, or total bills were then. And I tell you, we found God to be faithful. And that helps me now to believe God for the impossible things. I'm going to close out today praying for you so you have a great weekend. Father, you are the God who does the impossible. You are the God of all honor. And Lord, I pray that you would show yourself strong, that your majesty would be seen, that your sovereignty would be extended. Lord, that difficult and wonderful things would be accomplished so that people in Brevard County know Jesus is Lord. We give you the glory. See you Monday here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@Hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.